From the studios of KPCW in Park City, this is The Mountain Life.
I'm Pete Stoughton.
And I'm Lynn Ware Peak.
Whether your mental or physical wellness brings you to the top of the highest peaks,
or you need a little help with the climb,
The Mountain Life, healthy living in the Wasatch.
Our next guest is psychiatrist Dr. Christine Montrose, who will join May Mental Health Awareness Month here in Park City. It's a virtual discussion on May 17th from 4 to 5:30. It's part of Connect Summit County's offerings for this month of May. Her book is called Falling Into the Fire, in which she explores case studies of patients in extreme psychiatric distress. Throughout her book, Dr. Montrose confronts the larger question of psychiatry. What is to be done when a patient's experiences cannot be accounted for or helped by what contemporary medicine knows about the brain? Falling Into the Fire is an intimate portrait of psychiatry. It allows the reader to witness the humanity of the practice and the enduring mysteries of the mind. Dr. Christine, welcome to The Mountain Life. It's great to have you.
Thanks so much, Lynn. It's lovely to be here.
Well, how did Connect Summit County find you? I'm curious.
So I actually have a more recent book that's been published called Waiting for an Echo, The Madness of American Incarceration. And I think through my publicity and speaking engagements around that topic, in fact, it might have even been an NPR interview, they reached out to me in the wake of that and had discovered my other book and wanted to see if I could be a part of their Mental Health Awareness Month, which, of course, I was thrilled to accept and really excited to hear about the good things that they're doing out there.
Well, I think we really do, thanks to Connect Summit County, take May Mental Health Awareness Month very seriously with lots and lots of events in this community. So we're glad that you can join us. And, you know, I'm curious about, you know, in the intro, we talked about the enduring mysteries of the mind. And for you as a psychiatrist, what are those?
I work as an inpatient psychiatrist in a freestanding psychiatric hospital, and I work on what are called the intensive treatment units. So that's the psychiatric version of the ICU. So people who are very manic, very, very psychotic, hearing voices, seeing visions, or maybe actively trying to hurt themselves or other people. And psychiatry really differs from a lot of other medical specialties in that we don't have diagnostic tests that are as conclusive as, say, a CAT scan might be, or an MRI, or a blood test. So it really relies on the expertise and knowledge of the clinician, and also very much the stories and experience of the patients as they relay them. And as you can imagine, there's often a lot of ambiguity there, and the experiences of patients are extremely individualized, and it's really important that doctors take each patient as an individual person to try to determine the best path forward for each of them.
Well, it's interesting that you say there's not necessarily like a scientific, you know, MRI or whatnot to really diagnose some of these patients. How does one really determine if someone's clinically extreme in these situations? Because is it just maladjusted behaviors that are just unaccepted, or is it actually a psychiatric condition?
I think one of the factors that I always keep in the forefront of my mind, and one of the factors that is really integral in our diagnostic categorization too, as psychiatrists, is whether the situation is causing distress. So we often really keep suffering at the forefront. So if someone is, you know, having behaviors or having thoughts that might not be in step with our social expectations or norms, that doesn't necessarily mean that someone has something pathological going on. But if those symptoms are really causing someone distress or really interfering with their ability to function, that makes a real difference and is a call for us, I think, to see it as something that rises to the level of something that could really use intervention and treatment and help. And I think, you know, just to say one other thing about the question of ambiguity and clarity and diagnosis, one of the things in writing Falling Into the Fire that I really thought a lot about is even in realms of medicine where there are diagnostic tests that have a great deal of clarity, you still often have much more ambiguity and mystery in medicine than we would like. That someone who has an easily diagnosable form of cancer, for example, that you can see on imaging and see via blood testing, might still run up against differences of opinion in leading clinicians as how that cancer should be treated and what the prognosis might be. And so I think there is mystery and ambiguity in psychiatry, but there's actually a lot of mystery and ambiguity in medicine as well, more broadly.
I'm also interested how, with the onset of more acceptance and dialogue about gender identity and sexuality, so forth, that, you know, things that previously had a larger social response might have caused more distress amongst individuals, that doesn't perhaps cause as much stress with more acceptance now. Are we finding that that is, I guess, lessening the frequency of your clients?
Well, I think, you know, not everything that causes distress means that there's a psychiatric condition at its root, right? There are plenty of experiences that we have that are incredibly distressing, but that doesn't necessarily mean that there is a psychiatric illness behind those. So I want to be really clear in saying that we're talking about specific symptoms causing distress, not just things in the universe that cause distress. But certainly, psychiatry as a discipline has a pretty inglorious past in that things like sexuality and gender identity have been seen as pathological by psychiatry in the history of the discipline. So I think psychiatry, fortunately, like the rest of our society, is evolving and understanding is evolving. But I think psychiatry actually contributed to the distress of people who, in the LGBTQ community and in the trans community, psychiatry really exacerbated those problems, and I hope that now we're able to provide more support by recognizing that some of the things once deemed diagnoses or once deemed pathological, we now understand very much not to be.
If you're just joining us on The Mountain Life, our guest is psychiatrist Dr. Christine Montrose. She'll be joining May Mental Health Awareness Month here in a virtual discussion on May 17th from 4 to 5:30 p.m. It's part of Connect Summit County's events this month. Christine, I'm wondering also about the destigmatization of mental health challenges. How much that sort of thing is providing hope in terms of getting, you know, early intervention and early diagnostics and early treatment. How is that going?
I think we're advancing, but advancing slowly in that regard. One of the things that I think is a really salient topic around this question at the moment is, as we're looking at policing in the country, one of the questions that's really consistently arisen is the fact that that in psychiatric emergencies and mental health emergencies, people often have no recourse other than to call the police to try to obtain help for their loved ones. And the police response is often the first response to a psychiatric emergency. When someone's having another healthcare emergency, when they're in a car accident or when they're having a heart attack or a stroke, we send trained medical clinicians who know how to stabilize a fracture or stop bleeding or start oxygen or start an IV or intervene in really clinically indicated ways, and then transport people from those emergencies to therapeutic facilities. We don't do that for mental health, and I think that that has a great deal to do with stigma. I think we somehow see mental health as separate and distinct from physical health in a way that we really ought not to. And so instead of sending trained clinicians that we could send to mental health emergencies, too often we send police. And sometimes police transport people to psychiatric facilities, but sometimes people are taken to jail, which obviously is a punitive environment rather than a therapeutic one. So I think there are still lots and lots of examples of both how stigma interferes with people seeking treatment in the first place, but also how societally, stigma is really built into how we respond to mental health crises, and it's important for us to be examining that and really holding that up to the light to make sure that it aligns with our values.
I'm so glad you brought that up, Dr. Montrose, because it was a question I wanted to ask you. You know, it's so current. It's such a current conversation right now with all of, you know, the third option, which you didn't give, is that someone is shot and killed because there's not a this trained knowledge of how to deal with it. And I'm curious about what you think the solution is. Is it in training the police better because it's they already have such a huge job? Or is it literally, like you say, to get trained professionals, you know, in a also in an emergency vehicle that arrives at the scene at the same time that the police do, or maybe even before the police do?
I think that there are several solutions to this problem, and we ought to use more than one of them. And you're absolutely right. People with mental illness are 16 times more likely to be killed by police than people who are mentally well. And we've seen tragic examples of this, you know, even very recently. So I think people often ask me if I think the answer is police training. I think police should be trained because in the event that they encounter someone who's behaving erratically or who has psychiatric illness, but I don't think police ought to be the first response to mental health emergencies. So I do think having trained clinicians respond that are dedicated to, you know, that are a dedicated force for those types of emergencies makes so much sense and is exactly what we do with health emergencies. And I think similarly, there's discussion right now of a 988 number, like a 911 number that people could call for mental health emergencies so that they're not just triggering a police response to psychiatric emergencies. I think that's another idea that really deserves exploration, would require funding and implementation. But there are examples of community organizations that are doing this type of thing very well with great success. So there's an organization called Cahoots in Oregon that has paired with police and that serves as a community response to psychiatric and mental health emergencies. The police force really appreciates it because it lightens their load and means that they are freed up to not deal with those volatile situations. And the Cahoots group is trained clinicians. They can connect people with appointments and services. They have police backup should they need it, but they arrive unarmed. And they really have not had episodes of violence or deaths in custody at all. And I think there are models that we could look to that I think we are really worth considering as we move forward addressing this really egregious practice that we have.
Dr. Christine Montrose is speaking with us and will be joining us in our community May 17th from 4 to 5:30 as part of the Connect Summit County's Month of Mental Health Awareness. And as you're listening, you're hearing the breadth and depth of her knowledge and expertise, and we can't wait to get a bit of a few nuggets from you here in our community. Give us a real quick 30-second teaser of what we can hope to share or learn when you come and visit digitally with us.
I'm really excited to be involved in conversation with the folks at Connect and in Park City, and I think that what we're hoping for is an engaging and vibrant night of conversation with folks who are involved in the system in all kinds of different ways, so advocates, peer recovery specialists, and me speaking from my perspective as a clinician, talking about how to normalize conversation around mental health and really emphasize the health part of mental health as we're here in Mental Health Awareness Month.
Dr. Christine, thank you so much for joining us on The Mountain Life. You can go to connectsummitcounty.org to register for Dr. Christine Montrose's talk, and take care. We'll see you on Monday.
Very nice to talk with you. Thanks for hosting me.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning into this episode of The Mountain Life.
If you enjoyed the show, make sure you subscribe, rate us, and leave us a comment.
If you have an idea for a future show, email us at mountainlife@kpcw.org.
We hope you'll bring your green smoothie and join us next week for The Mountain Life.